verses 23 all the way through 28. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Thus the reading of God's word this evening as we find it in John chapter 12. The first thing you may notice from our text this evening is the repetition, which does indicate a parallel structure in our text. You notice in verse 23 that Jesus replies, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Then when we go to verse 27, again we see those words in the center of that verse, "Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." In these verses, we see the word "hour" mentioned in verse 23 and again two times in verse 27. At the end of verse 23, we have the word "glorified." And in verse 28, Jesus says, "Father, glorify your name." These verses and this repetition does indicate a parallel structure, a key for us to understand and seek to know what this passage is saying to us. And it helps us to see that as we recognize this parallel structure, there is something in the middle that the author wants us to see to help us explain or understand what is the meaning of the hour and what Jesus means by being glorified. Now, in the earlier part of this service, I read to you from the Gospel of John, chapter 19, the same Gospel. And in those words, as we listened to the hour of which Jesus was speaking of. That is the hour of his death. The reason he came was to live through this hour of death on the cross. But you may have noticed that as we read those verses, there was no mention of the darkness of that hour. In the other Gospels, we do read as that Jesus died on the cross, and even at mid-afternoon, the sky was darkened and the earth was darkened. But in John's Gospel, there is no darkness in his story of Jesus' death. One reason for that is because John's focus is not on the darkness, even when we think of Jesus' death. John's focus, as we see at the end of verse 23 in our text, is that Jesus is glorified. The hour has come. And this hour is not an hour of darkness, but this hour is an hour of glorification. Glorification of the Son of Man, verse 23. Glorification of the Father, verse 28. Glorification through the death of God's Son. Well, to help us understand this glorification and the meaning of what John is telling us concerning the hour, we look to the center of our text, the center of this parallel structure. And in the first verse of this center part of our text, verse 24, we see that Jesus tells us a parable. "I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed, but if it dies, it produces many seeds." In this parable, Jesus is describing a kernel of wheat, a wheat that we have, and it's like a seed, And what Jesus tells us is that you take that kernel of wheat, that seed, and it falls to the ground, and you plant it in the ground. And what happens? Jesus tells us it dies. But once it dies in the ground, it becomes something else. In other words, no longer is it a kernel of seed anymore, a kernel of wheat. This kernel of wheat becomes a plant. And as it grows and as it produces new life, it produces many more seeds, many more kernels, which can be planted and which can produce more and more wheat. Well, Jesus is telling us this parable in the context of what it means that his hour has come and what it means that he has come to be glorified. And as Jesus uses this parable, he is describing for us what will soon take place and what we read takes place in chapter 19. That the kernel of wheat, that's Jesus, died. He died on the cross and was buried in the ground in the tomb. But if he had not done that, he would have remained, it tells us in this parable, a single seed. Now keep in mind what he's saying here. If you have a seed or a kernel of wheat and you decide not to plant it in the ground, it won't die in the ground and it will live in the package or on your shelf and it will remain, Jesus tells us, a single seed, verse 24. What if Jesus had not gone to the cross? What if he hadn't been buried in the tomb? He would have remained one righteous man, a son of man, verse 23, that was perfectly righteous, and that would have been all. But this son of man who was perfectly righteous went to the cross and died and was buried in the ground. And because he died not for his sins, but for the sins of his people, because he went to the tomb and died for them, and because he rose to everlasting life, others are part of that new life. He paid for their sins. He washed their sins away. And by his resurrection, they too have life. His death and resurrection produced many seeds. Do you see why the gospel writer of John describes it not as an hour of darkness, but this is an hour of the Son of Man to be glorified? There is no darkness in this. This is God's payment for sin, as man has sinned, and God covering their sins through his Son, Jesus Christ. But you notice that this is not all what the gospel writer includes in between this parallel structure. He goes on in verse 25 to declare what happens or how we identify with those who know and understand the kernel of wheat and Jesus, God's Son, who is that kernel of wheat. He tells us in verse 25, the man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Now remember the context of what we have learned already as we have come to this passage. Last Sunday we talked about the triumphal entry, and the focus of the people was on an earthly king who would bring earthly power, the power of a military, to drive out the Romans and establish an earthly kingdom, and about an exclusive earthly people of God, the Jews, who would be blessed on this earth, and we learned that the Greeks are also included. All things that are speaking of this world, all things in which the readers or the original witnesses of this event were focused on this world. But now Jesus goes on to tell them what the Son of Man has come to do, how he is going to be glorified, and he declares that those who belong to the Son of Man should not love the world. In fact, he goes on to say, if they love the world, or they love their life in this world and the pleasures of this world, they will not have eternal life. He who hates his life in this world will have eternal life. Well, if we're not supposed to love the world, then who are we to love? Jesus tells us in verse 26, "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." Jesus tells them, don't love the world, love me. Love me and follow me. And where is Jesus going, especially in the context of our passage? Jesus is going to the cross. He is going to be rejected by the world, and he is going to die to this world, be put to death by this world. And he tells his people, follow me. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Jesus is describing for us what it means that he, as Son of Man and Son of God, will be glorified, and what it means as God's people to follow him and to believe in him and to be glorified. In the middle, what we see, in the middle of our parallel structure, we see a connection between the death of Christ and the believers and their death to the world. Christ died for us, and we died with him. And we know that we died with him because we die to the things of this world, and we love him, and we follow him, and we serve him more than we do the things in this world. Now, as we come to that last verse, verse 27, Jesus speaks and he declares, "Now my heart is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Some people say, is Jesus breaking down here? Is Jesus about ready not to do it? But as we look at these words, we see that Jesus is clearly telling us he will do it. He is the Son of Man. That means this is not an easy thing for him. He and his human nature has his own struggles with this. But he declares, "Father, save me from this hour." No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Now, we've read previously that Jesus was troubled. In John chapter 11, as Jesus stood before the tomb of Lazarus, he wept. He wept and was troubled in spirit, we're told, because he knows that as Lazarus is dead, there is only one way dead Lazarus, who has died for his sins, could ever come back to life. Someone has to pay for his sins. He knows that someone, that Son of Man, is Jesus himself. Jesus must come to pay for the sins of his people. Jesus must go to the cross. Jesus recognizes this is the very reason why he came for this hour. And he concludes, verse 28, "Father, glorify your name." His death will glorify the Father. The life that he gives through his death and burial in the tomb is the hour of glorification. It's the hour in which more seeds, more fruit, more Son of Men who believe in Christ and follow Him are given everlasting life in Him. This is not an hour of darkness, according to John's Gospel, but Good Friday is an hour of glorification. Glorification, because even though we know that Jesus died and Jesus suffered, we know that His suffering and death was for us, so that we can know and understand and possess that everlasting life that God the Father sent Him to this earth to bring to us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word, and we thank You for Your Son Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us. We thank You that even as we've gathered here today, we know this is the hour of glorification. Lord, we understand His death, even as we read those passages in John 19 and the earlier part of this service. We recognize the crucifixion and the suffering and the pain that He suffered, and we are humbled by that. But yet, Lord, we also know that we are not gathered here to be sad, but we are gathered here to be thankful, to know that this death and resurrection was for us, to know that His death and resurrection was necessary for us, to know that He was willing to go to that cross and submit to death as Son of God, Son of Man, for us. Grant us Your grace as we reflect upon these things, as we identify with Him and that salvation which is for us in this sacrament, this visible means of grace, which You have given us to remember what He did, to identify with it, to possess it, and to know that it belongs and is sealed to us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.